talk about episode 121. This week we'll be going over Pokemon Adventures volumes 17 and 18. My name is Cole Greco, and joining me as usual is my co-host Jude Knoll. Jude, how's it going?
Going well. Enjoying the nice weather we've been having lately. Mm-hmm. Gone for a couple runs, just trying to like get outside and enjoy the weather while we got it.
Yeah, I saw it's supposed to be pretty warm the next few days. I didn't run yesterday, but today I'm just going to kind of bundle them all up into one. So my plan is 4 miles after we record, so we'll see. I haven't run more than two in like a long time, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I did one that was like around that distance a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it had been a long time for me as well. And the next day, like 4 miles didn't even seem like a lot to me when I was like really running.
Yeah.
But after kind of like falling off for a while, the next day I was like miserable. Mm-hmm. Just like not even like in pain, but I just felt drained.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting to see my little 4 mile route here. It basically you just run and then, well, like, you know, you sort of go out to the neighborhood and then there's this like half mile long hill that you go down. And right at the bottom of that hill is the 2 mile mark. So then you just turn around and run immediately back up it. So I imagine my last mile is going to be brutal. But, you know, I'm going to do it for kind of old time's sake. I've been waiting for the day when I can get back to doing my old routes. So we're just going to jump into it and feel awful.
I feel like the hardest part about like trying to do something like that again after having not done it isn't like the fatigue. It's like surprisingly it just feels longer like in your mind.
Yeah,
like building up the mental stamina is actually like harder than the physical stamina.
Exactly.
For some reason.
Yeah, to be like, oh, I'm gonna be out here for like 30-35 minutes.
yeah, like when I was at my peak of running last year, I feel like my attention span in general was like so much better. Just like in general, like even outside of like when I'm exercising.
Yep.
I'm like, man, I wish I had the attention span that I had in like early 2023.
Yep. Gotta go out there and grind the miles again.
Yep. The JRPG mindset. Gotta level up your mentality points.
Yep. My min is it's like 7 right now. gotta go beat a couple slimes.
Yeah, they you know, they always have those like gamified exercise apps on like your phone or whatever. I need like an RPG for running. That'll really get me back into it.
That would be like, pretty sick. Yeah,
you know, you go for like a level 5 run and get some loot at the end of it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Yeah, that's the next Pokemon they need.
Yeah, Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
like
go run,
go fast.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hop into Pokemon Adventures here, volume 17. So yeah, volume 17 starts off. Ruby kind of shows off some of his battling prowess that we kind of got references to back in like volumes 15 and 16. And we see some flashbacks of him being trained by his father, Norman. Sapphire receives the third gym badge in Mauville by assisting the Trick Master and Watson to defeat kind of this power plant thing in New Mauville. Ruby is finally caught by his dad, and the two end up having a battle. And we cut to Ruby's mom, who reveals that Norman was going to let Ruby participate in all the contests. And it planned to tell him the night that Ruby ran away. And then Sapphire and Flannery encounter Team Aqua on their way up the Mount Chimney cable car. And we end the chapter with a couple of images of Kyogre and Groudon. So, yeah, story's kind of moving. We had a lot of stuff happen here in Volume 17, at least.
This mini power plant arc and just, like, the design of Mauville City is really weird. I feel like that was... out of anything we've seen thus far in the Pokemon Adventures manga, it feels the most like removed from what the game looks like in a good way.
Yeah, I was so confused by the new Mauville thing.
The world of New Mauville City looks like, you remember William Joyce's Robots movie?
Yes.
That's what it looks like. Or like roly poly oly type.
Yes. Yeah, it's so weird. Like, yeah, that's my note from that chapter from 203 is just this chapter was really weird. Like, yeah. There's the Trickmaster guy is kind of weird. That big moving tree thing that he rigs up is very bizarre. Like, I was just so confused.
Like, this is one of the few times we see somebody battling something that's like definitely not a Pokemon at all. And I think the only time we really ever see that in the games is in like Black and White 2 when you can battle like mechs in the movie studio.
Okay.
But this is very unusual.
And
the design of the Trickmaster is really weird as well.
Yeah.
He reminds me, do you ever play Pokemon XD?
Yes, I did. I played a little bit of it.
Yeah, there's like this professor character at the beginning that kind of looks like the professor from Luigi's Mansion. And he also kind of looks like this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love his big, Eggman style suit he's got on here. But I was confused by this chapter. Like, so it's this. Okay, so they fought like this generator, and then that's revealed to be like the Trickmaster's ancestor set that up. Is that like, so it didn't actually go rogue, it's just how it's designed. I was so confused by the
Trickmaster's final trick.
Yeah, the Trickmaster definitely pulled one over on me because I didn't get this at all.
Yeah. The design of the city is really interesting too. Mm-hmm. It really looks like I mentioned before, like something out of Robots or like
Astro Boy Italian, or something.
Yeah, like Italian futurist artwork from the 30s and 40s or something like that.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what they were going for, but it's kind of cool. I'll take some weird experimentation over playing it safe personally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's just run it out there and see how it goes.
Yeah. I also thought there's this part in the first chapter of that volume where one of the Team Magma characters is like, "Have you ever read the story of the Little Match Girl by Hans Christian Andersen?"
Yeah,
I was like, "What?" What is up with that?
That was they're really going off the rails with Pokemon Adventures now. You know, people always say they're like, "Oh, it's the darkest Pokemon story and stuff." It's just weird.
Yeah, I think you could have said that maybe for like the first couple of volumes or arcs, but I think the whole aesthetic of it has really changed post Hoenn. Like, it's not just the characters.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten a lot. This is the quirkiest story arc that we've seen thus far.
Yeah, exactly. I also had a note from the first chapter, minus the first real page of chapter 202. Ruby's hat looks completely ridiculous. I always thought it looked very cool in the games and stuff. It looks stupid in Pokemon Adventures, I have to say.
Yeah, his whole drip in this manga is really weird. Like his shades that he wears, kind of dorky.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, back playing Pokemon Ruby like on the Game Boy Advance looked extremely cool, but you know, here it is like fully drawn out. I'm not really feeling it as much.
Yeah, and also I had kind of forgotten about the Zangoose-Sviper rivalry that's like supposedly a part of the world. That was kind of cool to see again. And in that chapter, we see that Ruby gets a Feebas, and as we'll see later, your prediction came true.
Yep, exactly.
About him needing to like grind it out with a Feebas so that he can get the Milotic.
Yep, because he's like, "Oh, Feebas, you're so ugly, but interested in the beauty contest." Yeah, I could, you know, I guess it's not very impressive, but you know, I saw it coming a mile away.
Yeah. I did like the Sviper like grabbing the Pokeballs with its fangs and crushing them.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that a lot of Sviper stuff going on. We had Sviper in the first volume 2, I think. Because, yeah, we talked about the big, giant 8-foot tall Sviper that was actually, it looked like about 15 feet tall.
Also interesting to see this battle between Ruby and his dad. Norman is a weird character in this series. Mm-hmm. Kind of the, not the primary antagonist, but something of a secondary antagonist in this section of the story.
Yeah, he's which like, is... it is
grabbing his son by the collar of his shirt and holding him up like Homer Simpson style.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's such a chill character in the games. Like, they really did just kind of like paste this personality onto him.
Yeah, I was actually kind of shocked by that.
Mm-hmm. There's also a part in, I think it is chapter 202, maybe, like that first one, where Ruby's getting attacked by the Slugma, and the Slugma is inflicting like actual severe mental damage. He's having visions of like past traumas and stuff. It's really giving me like, you know, Shinji watching his friend die in the Ava. You know, when he like his buddy gets to pilot the mech or whatever, and then gets killed by that angel, and he's like flipping out now the rest of the series.
What's the name of that thing from Naruto where like the Uchiha clan can like make people like have those like
the infinite
in the mental prison?
Yeah, like the infinite Tsukiyomi. Yeah. Yeah, dude. The Slugma is going crazy.
Yeah, I'll take it back. Maybe this is the darkest chapter of Pokemon Adventures.
Yeah, that's true.
More child abuse, more like, you know, mental torture.
Yeah, I was like reading that chapter and I was like, hold on a second. I was like, what is happening here? I was like, this is, we got Slugma doing this.
Well, I also think it's funny too that like there's this whole arc where Norman is like chasing his son who's like run away from home. So like, I get that he's like really pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Why would you run away from home? I was gonna let you become a contest, you know, participant anyway.
Yeah.
It's like you're in really big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but I'm gonna let you go anyway.
Yeah, it's like, why even chase him down?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I just wanted to chase you down and like, you know, hold you above my head from the collar of your shirt.
Yeah.
Just so I could tell you that you got my blessing to be contest participant.
Yeah, he could have just called his number on the Poke Gear or whatever it is.
Exactly, dude. Almost got him and his son killed.
Mm-hmm.
Falling into a pit of spikes.
Also, I didn't understand, they mention it a lot of times later. It becomes like a pretty big plot point. The whole thing with like him getting onto this submarine or like something like that and like stealing the cast form, does that happen in this volume or is that in volume 18?
It happens in this volume.
Yeah. I didn't understand what exactly was going on there, but they keep like mentioning it later like it's this big deal, but like when I was reading it, like it just never like registered to me, I guess, what was going on.
Yeah, I was happy to see an appearance from cast form, which is my favorite Hoenn Pokemon, but yeah, I was a little confused as well. This, weirdly, I feel like this storyline in Pokemon Adventures, I actually like the characters and Pokemon themselves more in this like section of the Poke Special universe, but I don't think the story makes much sense.
No, the story I think is honestly like pretty not good. It's just there's a lot of points where I'm flipping through, and this isn't necessarily like all story stuff, but there's like a lot of sequences. I have one I think particularly from volume 18, where it's just like, I'll read like three pages and be like, I don't know what's going on. Like who is doing what? And not even like in a Jujutsu Kaisen kind of confusion of like, you know, there's so much plot happening all the time. It's just like the sequencing of this stuff doesn't make sense. Like they're talking to this person and then like now they appear over here and like they're carrying them away or something like that. You know, there's a lot of things in that realm that are just like, I don't know how all this happened.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been like the biggest Gen 3 fan, but I always felt like Aqua and Magma were like the wackest Pokemon villain organizations.
Yeah.
No style. I kind of felt like once you get over the gimmick that they've got like, you know, two factions that have, you know, different aims that you can't tell whether they're good or bad or not. Like, once you get over the forced complexity of it all, they're kind of just lame.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for Team Aqua Magma, because these were my favorite games growing up, or honestly just like in general. But yeah, as villains themselves, they're not the best. They've got pretty poor outfits, and even their motives are, you know, the motives for the evil organizations in Pokemon are always, you know, they don't really hold up to scrutiny very well. But these, I think, even less so. They're like, we're going to remove all the water on the earth, or we're going to make it only water on the earth. So, you know, those are pretty crazy plots.
Yeah, that said, Team Aqua's evil Azumarill.
Oh yeah,
I was like actually laughing when I saw the panels of this sinister looking Azumarill attacking our main characters.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Also, I really like the swimmer fisherman guy we have in this too. He's a cool character. He has a lot of good reactions. The one where the Seviper and the Zangoose smash through the, or like stab through the Pokeballs on page like 85. He's got this just like very horrified look.
Yeah, what we've lost from the like excellent just like general art skills from the Mado era and like personality, we've made up for with just kind of like the humor of the art style in these volumes.
Yeah, a lot of like the gag
moments. Tons
of
good reactions and like, you know, just like quirks that you may have not seen earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of the reaction panels are very good. Like a lot of the gag moments I think are done better in this. But yeah, overall, like the character designs, the Pokemon designs, I don't think are even close to as good as Mato's. Yeah. Like when the artist first changed over, it was a difference, but I actually didn't mind it too much. But here, I don't know, I feel like it really kind of stands out when, you know, he kind of has to do all the work on his own and not sort of rely on like what Mato had sort of set up before.
Agreed. I think his personality, Yamamoto's, is coming through for better or for worse.
Yeah.
In some ways, I like how goofy it is, but in other ways, I'm like, it's a little rough sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I will say page 96, that like third panel, I think might be my favorite one in the entire series. It's got the Delcatty and the Mightyena looking all pretty, and then the other side just says gloom with Marsh Stomp and Phoebus over there. What a squad he's got.
Yeah, Marsh Stomp and Mudkip's like permanent snot bubble that's like coming out of its nose. Love that detail.
Yeah, I wonder if they keep it up when he evolves into Swampert. They kept it up through Marsh Stomp.
I was thinking the same thing. I really hope so.
Yeah, because that would be great. Yeah, because like Mudkip and Marsh Stomp are just like inherently a little goofy, but Swampert is kind of like, you know, he's kind of
cool.
Exactly. He's a cool design. He's kind of the hard ass Pokemon. So we'll see what happens. I guess the Marsh Stomp, I think, is being entered into the tough contests. So maybe when it evolves, it finally, you know, reaches its full, like, toughness potential here.
Yeah, that would make sense. Then Ruby will finally see its true appeal.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like all the panels with Slaking, I think Slaking is a really cool Pokemon.
Yeah, I was thinking about Slaking earlier, too. Because I've been watching some Let's Plays of Pokemon XD. And the final boss has a Slaking in a double battle with another Pokemon that I forget which Pokemon is the one where like its ability is that it can swap abilities with another Pokemon.
Oh, interesting.
So that Slaking is able to like overcome
the Truant. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, also weird pages here with Norman when his son is like flying off of these stairs and stuff. that whole sequence, bizarre. But you know, the cast form kind of putting in work, changing the weather. I forget the cast form is supposed to change the weather, because it is basically completely unusable in the games, so I always thought it was really cool. But I've never actually used the cast form because it's so terrible.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Gen 3 Pokemon solely on the like strength of its gimmick and its design. Oh. It looks really cute. I've always loved the cute Pokemon. Just like That's why I relate to Ruby as a protagonist so much. Like, I would always just choose the ones that looked the best for my team rather than the ones that, you know, were actually the most powerful.
Yeah. 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 All the different cast form versions are very cool. I feel like every time I play the games, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to use cast form. And then I very quickly was like, I cannot use cast form.
It has no purpose.
I was like, as much as, you know, even as easy as these games are, I can't make it that hard for myself to to suffer through cast form using like Sunny Day.
Exactly.
Also, I'm just flipping through the chapter now. Great panel on page like 140 of the swimmer. He's in like a completely different art style, screaming. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
All right, Jude, do you have any other notes on volume 17? I think we covered everything that I had.
Yeah, I think I'm good too.
All right, let's hop into volume 18.
All right. So in volume 18, we start off where we left off in 17, where gym leader Flannery and Team Magma's Tabitha are teaming up to revive the Mount Chimney volcano and its surrounding hot springs. Then Sapphire later defeats Flannery to get the heat badge. Meanwhile, Ruby is finally able to complete his first contest attempt, where he wins every single normal ranked ribbon available. Later, Team Magma launches a terrorist attack on the Rusturf Tunnel, and Ruby battles them, only to be recruited by Magma admin Courtney. And obviously, he refuses. The gym leaders then hold a council to see what's to be done about the two organizations that have arisen as Groudon and Kyogre come closer to waking up. Half want to support Team Aqua, the other half want to support Team Magma, and Norman leaves without taking a side. Finally, Ruby sweeps all but one of the Super Rank Contest ribbons, the Beauty Ribbon, and asks contest trainer Wallace to teach him how to conquer the beauty aspect of the contest with his Feebas.
My first note on this, the volume cover, I think, is not the best for this one. But also, it shows Ruby with the Swampert.
Yeah, does it evolve to Swampert
in this? Like, did I miss that?
I don't think so. No, it doesn't.
I was gonna say, is that like one of the last chapters? And I just like I kind of glazed over that. I don't remember seeing Swampert here.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's a okay. Yeah, crazy cover.
Yeah. I also at the end of this really liked Wallace's character.
He's got,
you know, Pokemon trainer with groupies, something we haven't really seen since Gary Oak in the
anime. That's right.
The anime.
Yeah. Yeah, Wallace in this gives me big Silvando vibes from Dragon Quest XI, who is maybe one of my favorite just characters in media ever. But yeah, Wallace pretty good. We also, man, this chapter, the kind of the marketing stuff for this chapter, real weird. On the table of contents, you get the silhouettes of the Reggies. We don't see them at all in here either.
They're really catfishing the readers here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, you'll get to see the legendary Pokemon. You'll get to see
Swampert.
Yeah, nope.
Not at all.
Meanwhile, you do get a full Hot Springs chapter that was...
Oh, yeah. Gotta have one of those.
Please. Yeah. No. Absolutely not. This Flannery and Sapphire collab in the Hot Springs.
I also...
Just terrible.
I also love how during the Hot Spring chapters, they're like, we're gonna have a battle right here. And they don't leave the Hot Springs. Like, they're just... Like, no, like, okay, let's get dressed, and, like, let's go battle. It's just like, we're gonna just still chill in the hot springs because the artist wants to draw these characters in the hot springs.
Meanwhile, the battle is just trash, too. It's 2 pages long.
Yeah, this volume in particular, I think, is very egregious with, like, what I was talking about, where it's just, like, extremely hard to follow, like, some of the sequencing for this stuff. Like, particularly... I think it's pages, 76 through like 78. Man, I have just like no clue what happened in that like 3-page spread.
Oh yeah. Also, this is something I've been like I have a gripe with like throughout this arc of the manga itself.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this journalist character. I think.
Yeah, the reporters are bad.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, not that I'm, like, holding this series to any sort of standard, but I don't think they really understand how journalism works. They're not detectives.
Yeah. They're on the case.
Yeah, they're out here inserting themselves into the story. That's a big no-no. Well, especially in this type of journalism.
Yeah, well, and they're investigating, like, what happened with the submarine and the cast form and stuff, but this is what I was talking about. I don't even know what happened with it. Like, why is this a big deal?
Right.
Yeah, I was...
Also, I
was very lost narratively throughout these two volumes.
Yeah. I did like the contest chapters, though. We finally got to see some contest action, mm-hmm. and I wish we got more of it, because mm-hmm. this is my favorite aspect of the Ruby and Sapphire manga so far.
Yeah. I love how during the beauty contest, he has to keep Phoebus in the tank. Like, I love how that's how they have to use the water-type Pokemon. That's pretty good. And I love how smug Phoebus looks when it's using Water Pulse on the following page.
Yup.
So good. Yeah, the contests are very fun.
Also thought it was funny that, like, we see Wally's cousin, who Ruby, I think, actually is Wally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, he stops his whole bus and then, like, yanks her arm because he thinks she's Wally.
And he's like, oh, I don't remember you having such long hair.
It's like,
being a woman.
Exactly. Yeah, we still haven't seen the return of Wally.
Yeah, that'll be pretty sick. Mm-hmm. Wally is, from what I remember in Gen 3, I did quite like Wally as a character.
Yeah, he's cool. He gets has the Gardevoir and stuff. Fights you on Victory Road on your way to, or you know, the kind of the Victory Cave, I guess, on your way to the Pokemon League.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wally's cool.
Also, this, during the battle between Ruby and Team Sapphire, also felt there were some pretty questionable moments between Ruby and Courtney. Kind of gross.
Yeah. That whole part is weird, and I didn't understand. Once again, I didn't get this either. Courtney sort of flies away and she's like, what, she's quitting Team Magma because she's gonna fall in love with Ruby? Is that what is happening here?
Think so.
Yeah, real very strange. Weird. Yeah. I'm looking at, like, kind of the in-between pages of you know, where it shows, like, their Pokemon teams. Didn't realize all of Ruby's Pokemon except for Marsh Stomp are female, and all of Sapphire's Pokemon except for the Combusken are male.
Oh, whoa. I didn't notice that either.
Yeah.
I do like Ruby's nicknames for these Pokemon, too. We've got Moo Moo, Nana, Kiki, Fifi, and Fofo.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Also,
the drawing of cast form is so funny, too. Mm-hmm. Dude looks so geeked.
Yep. Also, I like how Sapphire's team has levels beside him. Ruby's just no levels at all.
He doesn't care about that. It's
I see.
Fully on the contest grind set.
I was going to say, I see what it's doing. It's showing, because on Ruby's side, it's got that little, like, hexagonal, or,
yep.
You know, pentagon, actually. But it's showing, like, their contest kind of stats, I guess. Okay, that's kind of cool then. We've also made it this far.
Sapphire's mm-hmm. starter Pokemon is the weakest of the crew. So level 33, while everything else is in the 40s.
Yeah, I feel like she uses the Combusken a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I guess we gotta draw out the evolution as far as possible.
Yeah, that's true.
For the story's sake.
Well, she does get the Blaziken in this volume.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I don't know what the deal is with that, then.
Races through those last six levels. Also interesting, we haven't completed either of their teams yet, so I kept waiting to see, like, what Pokemon they would end up getting, but we haven't. I don't think they got their six Pokemon by the end of the volume, so I'm interested as to kind of what they're saving those spots for. I wonder if it's going to be, like, yeah. Latios and Latios.
Could be. I don't know why they can't just, like, carry around a six one that they send back to the
exactly
the box later on, though.
Mm-hmm.
my last big ups for this chapter, because I think I've been ragging on it a bit, and I do feel like this might be the weakest section of Pokemon Adventures we've read thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Yamamoto's depiction of these scientists in Professor Cosmo's lab.
Yeah, that's pretty good,
like,
too.
Look like Sesame Street puppets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Professor Cosmo looks just ridiculous.
Yeah, we got the big, like, ovoid heads mm-hmm. and triangular mouths that go from ear to ear.
Yeah.
They don't look like any other characters in the series for some reason.
Mm-hmm. I really like the gym leader kind of convention thing they had. The kind of the double page spread where they all sort of like join up in the circle is pretty cool. I like how Norman's Vigoroth is just like shadow boxing over in the corner. It's the only one with any motion.
Yeah. Guess this is something we're going to see in each arc of Pokemon Adventures, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just the gym leaders convening
yep.
to stop a big threat.
Mm-hmm. I also like Roxanne riding on top of the Graveler. That's really cool, too.
Yeah, always here for some Roxanne representation, especially as we talked about in the last episode of this series. You know, how big a part she plays in the trading card game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Roxanne is in just about every deck I make at this point. Man, what a satisfying card to play. Good design on that one, I have to say.
She's become a verb at this point, too. Everybody's
yeah, that's
like,
true.
You know, I Roxanne my opponent.
Uh-huh. Well, and same thing. They just announced there's that card that's coming out, the Unfair Stamp, which is basically, it's kind of a Roxanne on an item card, and it was the same thing. It was like, oh, I can Roxanne my opponent, like, you know, before
the
end of the game.
Yeah,
yeah. Pretty good. Yeah, getting Roxanne, getting Iono'd. That is the fun thing about the card game, is that the the gym leaders oftentimes become, like, you know, like Marnie was kind of that way too. It had a very Iono-esque effect. So it's like you know, you sort of either learn to love or bemoan these characters based on like how they are in the card game.
Yep.
The shift tree is pretty cool. I always thought shift tree was kind of lame in the games, but I think its little section here is fun. I didn't understand. So it's just like, this is just a wild shift tree that came out and started attacking?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that either.
It's a little hard to follow. It is interesting, like, how often it just seems like wild Pokemon come in and just like cause mayhem for like gym leaders and stuff. When, you know, in the games, any wild Pokemon is just, like, it feels like fodder for the most part.
Yeah. I think in the, you know, in the Kanto and Johto manga, the storylines seem a bit more linear
mm-hmm.
and somewhat tethered to, like, what happens in the games. I feel like in this Hoenn manga, just shit is just, like, kind of happening.
Yeah, yeah.
For no reason. Well, doesn't really, like, always drive the plot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is cool that there are kind of two like primary protagonists in this one. Like the other
I
ones,
do like that.
The other ones, it was always like it was mostly red story, yellow story, you know, gold story, and like the other characters were like sort of there. So this one is cool that like it is kind of both Ruby and Sapphire, but I do think it suffers from having to sort of like flash back and forth between them all the time.
Yeah. All right, their first real experiment with major narrative interlace.
Yep.
But I do wish we got more of Ruby's like contest participation. I was really excited for that to take place,
mm-hmm.
and it was really like rushed. Not that there's that much going on within contest in these Hoenn games, like in general.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have dressed it up a bit more for the manga.
Mm-hmm. They just sort of zoom through it in one volume. But I do like that he puts clothes on his Pokemon for the contest. Delcatty's little
that was sick.
You know, Chronicles of Narnia style robe is very cool. Looks like she's going to eat Turkish Delight. Also, I like Wallace's team too. He's got the Lovedisc, the Celio, the Seaking, and the Wishcash. I always thought Wishcash was really awesome.
Yeah, and they're all wearing, like, full faces of makeup,
yes.
too. Wishcash has these, like, long fake eyelashes.
Yep. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in these. I just wish the story was not so kind of hacky. Which I guess, yeah, you know, maybe it's asking too much for like a, I don't know, like a well-written Pokemon story, but I feel like we had that at least a little bit in the earlier ones. The story aspect of this one, not great, but I do think the characters and like the Pokemon themselves, I think, are significantly better in this than the early ones. We need to actually blend the two styles of Pokemon adventures.
Yeah, would have been interesting to see what happened if they just completely continued with this story with the original cast of characters and then added these new protagonists into it.
Yeah, we just keep getting more. Our giant band of Pokemon adventurers. Be pretty good.
Yeah,
I thought too, we get the fossils in this one, so I thought they were going to each get one of the fossils on their team, and that's what they were saving the last spot for. But no, they just kind of, it's just like a kind of wasted chapter. Like, the fossils get loose, and then Ruby stares at them, and they go back. But do like both of the fossils in this game too. Lilip, I think, and Cradily are pretty fun.
Yeah, definitely some fun moments, but I think these are probably two of the weakest volumes in the franchise thus far, at least in my opinion.
I agree. We do see in this volume a Zigzagoon, though. I think it's our first Zigzagoon sighting, which does give it some points, because I love Zigzagoon.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Okay, well, I think that exhausts all my notes for this section of Pokemon Adventures. Did you have anything else to add?
Not really. I think there's... Most of what I had to say, unfortunately, was critique this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, maybe it'll pick back up over the next... We've got, what, four more volumes, I think? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Hey, to its credit, I think this time around, though, the critiques I had were because it was taking some big swings at doing weird shit, and I'll take that over it just being, like, safe and boring.
Yeah, that
at
is...
At least it was trying to... Mm-hmm. Trying to mess around with the formula, trying to get a little surreal with it. I'll take that.
Yep, that is true. It does also look like maybe next volume we get kind of a preview. It looks like we're going to see Tate and Lizza, which are the first kind of double battling gym leaders we ever had in the game. So that'll be neat.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like double battles kind of just like appeared in the manga before, just like kind of because...
Mm-hmm.
There will be like a big battle between like a boss character and two other trainers, so maybe they'll get a bit more into the weeds with double battling here.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Yeah, I always wish that the games would go full double battling.
Oh yeah, double battles are sick. Yeah. And I mean, they're kind of the competitive meta.
Exactly. Yeah. So that'd be cool. All right. Well, that does it for Pokemon Adventures. This week, Jude, do you have any last-minute recommendations, anything like that, before we head out?
I guess I've still pretty much just been playing Pokemon RPG, or Super Mario RPG with my free time, so...
Nice.
Still gonna recommend that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly gotten a little bit less fun over time. I got a little over-leveled, but it's a really charming, like, well-designed game for what it is.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I need to check that out. And I know they're remastering that, or like remaking that Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, and that's the one that everyone kind of screams about. So maybe I'll try
that
to check
one.
That
will
out
be. I'm really
too.
Looking forward to that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My last minute recommendation. Got the band The Wonder Years put out a new song. I think it's called Year of the something. I don't remember now. But it's pretty cool. It's like very kind of hard for a Wonder Years song, which is interesting. There's like legitimate kind of like mosh parts in there, which is different for them. but yeah, it's cool. I will say I haven't been like the biggest fan of some of their more recent stuff, but the song was fun, and apparently it was written for like, it's like the WWE for some like WrestleMania event or something. It's like it's called Year of the Vulture. It's like the theme song for that.
Oh wow.
Which
kind of makes sense. I could see that.
Yeah, well, and it kind of tracks too, because there is some part of the song that like it, the guitars sound very they're a little like Five Finger Death Punchy, and I was like, that's like a weird tone for this band. But I feel like there's probably a very big crossover between you know, people that are watching WrestleMania and people that also listen to, you know, cock rock. So, you know, you gotta do that a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, song overall, pretty cool. Definitely, you know, interesting for that band to put out that kind of song. It was, yeah, it was fun. All right. Well, yeah, that does it for us, this week. Next week, we'll have more, Shonen Jump and Pokemon Adventures stuff. But yeah, so thanks for listening as usual. Hit us with the rating review wherever you can do that, and we'll see you next time.